2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to start in verse 13. So I was praying and studying and seeing what the Lord had me to read. He led me to this passage. It's very fitting, and pastors kind of jumped the gun, as we'll see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul wrote to Timothy, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." No doubt in the 2,000 years since that has been written, it has happened and it's continuing to happen. Brother Bob, as that happens, Paul writes to young Timothy and gives him some advice that would be good for all of us and in your ordination night, tremendous for you. Number one, remember the word of God. Remember the word of God. And he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And Pastor already mentioned that about your family. And he goes on to talk about the sufficiency of scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And he moves into chapter 4, not only remember the word of God, but preach the word of God. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant," or be ready "in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And if you do that, Brother Bob, at the end of your ministry, you'll be able to say these verses that the Apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture and the charge that it gives to Brother Bob. We thank you for his life, for his calling, for his family that taught him the truths of the gospel from a young child. We thank you for the day that you saved his soul, that his name was written in heaven. We thank you for the day that the Spirit of God impressed upon his heart that he should be a full-time servant of Christ, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We thank you for the day some 2 years ago that he came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as our youth pastor, and how you have blessed his ministry, and how we have seen our youth growing numerically and spiritually. We thank you for what you're going to do with him in the years to come. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to make him a man of the word, a man who believes the word of God, a man who teaches the word of God, lives by the word of God, makes it his foundation. And Lord, our prayer for Brother Bob is that when he stands at the end of his ministry, he might be able to say or hear from you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May your spirit be upon him. May you anoint him. May you use him, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like Brother Bob to take your way in the examining chair there. Now let me say while he's getting situated, these are no trick questions. After all, he's been on our staff for going on 2 years. And obviously, we checked him out really good before we hired him. So this is not something to trip him up. One reason I like doing it this way is because I've been trained this way from my Moses sitting right here. But personally, I like doing it this way because these doctrinal questions is for the entire church, not just Brother Bob. And these doctrinal questions are great teaching and learning for all of us. You just need to be reminded of it every now and then. So again, I'm not trying to trip you up. You know that. Brother Bob, and this is what we want to do is just in front of the church here, that the church would be satisfied that you're a fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, okay? So let's pray together, and I'm going to start this doctrinal examination here. Those are big words that mean absolutely nothing. We're going to ask you some questions, okay? That's what it means. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Bob, if you don't mind, just very briefly, even though it's in the bulletin tonight, give us your salvation experience just very briefly, please.
I thank the Lord for saving me at a young age, and leading up to my salvation, I'm thankful for the influence of my mom and dad, and faithfulness in taking us to church all the time. Thankful for my Lois in life, my grandmother sitting right here. If it weren't for her and the heritage that God's given me, I would not be here today. But I trust the Lord as my Savior as an 8-year-old boy after Sunday school. Was later baptized and felt the Lord call me to the ministry. Lord has started working on my heart, and as a sophomore in high school at youth camp, again, thankful for my youth pastor and his wife being here, thankful for his influence in my life, felt the Lord call me to the ministry, not sure what at that time, but the Lord later led me into youth ministry, felt the Lord call me to go to Crown College to train for that ministry, thankful that God's led my wife and I here.
Amen. Now, what we're going to do is just summarize some doctrines and ask some questions under it. First of all, the doctrine of God. Number one under this, do you believe in the existence of a triune God?
Yes, sir.
The Bible teaches that the triune Godhead is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all co-equal in power and in glory. Do you accept that?
Yes, sir.
The second person of the Trinity is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not some good man with a cause. He is very God. Would that be a statement that you agree with?
Yes, sir, that's true.
And it ought to be a statement you agree with, too. Praise God. These doctrinal questions are, amen. Number four, in other words, you believe in the deity of Christ.
Yes, sir.
You like these yes-no questions, don't you?
Yes.
That's good. Yes, sir. Now, how could he be very God and yet very man? He became the God-man or God incarnate by what process?
Jesus Christ became the God-man through the virgin birth.
Yes. Why did Jesus come into the world?
He came into the world to save sinners.
Amen. That's me. That's you. I've got to watch myself or I'm going to preach a little bit right here, you know? Who is the third person of the Trinity?
The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit.
Is he co-equal with God the Father and God the Son?
Yes, sir.
What is the main purpose of the Holy Spirit in the world today?
The Holy Spirit indwells believers and convicts us of our sin.
Yes. He's calling out a bride. Praise God for it. This is a day of charismatic confusion. You don't believe the evidence of the Spirit-filled life is speaking in an unknown tongue, do you?
No, sir.
That's good. Yes. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe in an instantaneous, immediate creation? In other words, you do not believe in evolutionary process, correct?
That's correct. I believe in 6 literal days of creation.
Good. The Bible teaches that our God is eternal, omnipotent, omniscient. Omnipotent just means all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere present, holy, just, and that at the same time he is a God of love. Would that describe the God that you serve?
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's the doctrine of God. Now, obviously, how do you summarize the doctrine of God, you see? But these are just some basic questions. Second, let's move on to the doctrine of salvation. Do you believe a lost man is depraved and dead in sin?
Yes, I do.
And if a man is spiritually dead, then will good works or baptism or church membership help him?
No, sir.
He needs to be born again. Would that be a statement that you would agree with?
Yes, sir.
Yes. How does a lost man get born again or saved or converted?
By repenting of their sins, asking the Lord to come into their heart to save them, and to forgive them for their sins.
Good. What is the gospel?
The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
If a man ever gets saved or born again, Will he ever be lost again?
Thank the Lord, no.
Amen. By the way, let me say this. There are good people who are tied up in that doctrine. But let me just make this statement and move on. If you could do anything to lose it, that's works. That's works. And I'm glad salvation is not on our works. It's on the work of Christ. And it's been done. It's been completed. Now, do you believe that every person, not that they will be saved, but do you believe that they can be saved? In other words, I'm asking, do you believe that the Lord can save any person? Or are you what some people would call themselves, would you consider yourself a Calvinist or a non-Calvinist?
Non-Calvinist.
Non-Calvinist. So you believe that the world can be saved?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'll amen that right there. No doubt about it. Let's move on to the doctrine of the Bible. Who is the author of the Bible?
The author of the Bible is God's Holy Spirit.
Do you believe there are any errors or contradictions in the Word of God?
No, sir.
I don't either. In other words, you do believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe a preacher's job is to love, read, study, meditate on, defend, obey, and preach the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me stop here and give you some good advice, and it's good for the church to hear me say this too. Forget all other translations. Use the King James Version of the Bible. That's what we use here, and we use it unapologetically. It's the Word of God preserved for us in the English language. And I know this is where you stand, and I'm just encouraging you, don't ever change. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it, you know? So praise the Lord for it. Don't ever let the devil get you off using something else. Because things, like old Curtis Hutchin used to say, things that are different are not the same. And so stick with the old King James Version of the Bible. Amen. Now, let's move to the doctrine of prophecy. I know I'm going fairly quickly here, but these are great questions just for our church to realize where we stand and why we stand in these positions. Number one, do you consider yourself a pre-tribulationalist and a pre-millennialist?
Yes, sir, I do.
Good. If you don't know what that means, just hang on, and we'll train you in those things. A pre-tribulationist simply means that we're going out of here before the tribulation begins. Praise God for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. And he could come at any moment. And the Lord's going to come back and set up his millennial kingdom upon this earth. And we're just excited about all of this. Do you believe in a literal burning hell and a literal place called heaven?
Yes, I do.
What is the next thing on God's timetable?
The next thing would be the rapture.
Yes, and that could be at any moment. It could happen before we get through with this doctrinal examination. Do you believe the dead in Christ will be resurrected at that time?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Then, after the rapture takes place, what happens on the earth? What takes place on the earth right after the rapture takes place?
After the rapture takes place would be the 7 years of tribulation.
Yes. And do you believe that Jesus will come back to this earth for a literal 1,000-year reign?
Yes.
Yes. Where is the place where the unsaved will be judged? What is that throne called?
The unsaved will be judged at the great white throne.
Yes. Jesus. And Christians will be judged where?
The judgment seat of Christ.
Yes. Let's move on to Baptist doctrine. Take a deep breath. I'm about done. Baptists believe the head of the church is not the Pope, and not the bishop, and not the pastor, but who is the head of the church?
Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
Amen. Let's see here. Most Baptists believe that a local church is a body of baptized believers. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, sir.
What do we mean when we say we believe in the autonomy of the local church?
That means that the local church is self-governing.
Self-governing. Good. By the way, our sixth graders are learning that in the Cadets for Christ program. And our sixth graders are learning the Baptist acrostic and learning what it means to be autonomous, priesthood of the believer, all these things. What do you consider to be the primary purpose of a local church, including this one? What's the primary purpose?
The primary purpose of a local church is to carry out the Great Commission.
Yes. How is a local church supposed to be supported financially?
Through the tithes and offerings of the members.
Yes. Are you doing that? Don't answer it, okay? Got to lighten it up in here a little bit, you know. What are the two scriptural offices in a local church?
The offices of the pastor and the deacon.
How many ordinances or orders do Baptists observe?
There are two ordinances, and those are baptism and Lord's Supper.
Okay. Many denominations accept sprinkling, pouring, or immersion as acceptable forms of baptism. Which mode of baptism do you think is an adequate symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ?
I believe the Bible teaches immersion is the proper mode of baptism.
Yes. Must be placed under. For it to be a burial, it's not sprinkling dirt on them, folks. They're placed into a cave back in the Bible days, or they're put underneath the ground. We keep the Lord's Supper as a memorial supper. Is there any saving grace in observing the Lord's Supper?
No, sir.
Let me give you some practical thoughts here. And I got these from my preacher, my Moses, and I'm giving them to you. Boy, that's a blessing. You know what I mean? You train me, I train him. And you're sitting here to see it, you know? That's a blessing right there. Praise God. I remember when I got ordained, old Mr. Kaiser was sitting right in here. And he got up right after this doctrinal ordination, this doctrinal examination. He said, folks, all we got to do is give a poem and a graveyard story and go home. That doctrinal examination's outstanding. And it is good. Praise God. The reason it's good is because it's not mine, it's preacher's. Amen. Let me give you some practical thoughts here. Preach the Bible. The Bible is enough. In a time where preachers around America are trying all kinds of things, stick with the Word of God. God will draw people to Himself. And it's not about numbers. Now, we're for numbers. Don't get me wrong, because numbers represent individual souls. But if our goal is numbers, we will lower standards to get them. If our goal is God, we will preach the Bible to get the numbers. Preach the Bible. Number two, win souls. And you're trying this, and I appreciate that about you. He's training teenagers. He's taking teenagers with him, trying to train them in the matter of soul winning. And that's exactly how I want this church running. God bless you. Stick with it. Study the Bible. Read it every day of your life. Don't let a day go by that you don't spend some time in the Word of God. Your marriage needs that. Your ministry needs that. Your personal life needs that. Spend time in prayer. I don't feel worthy to say that. As a matter of fact, I'm reading a book on Pray and Hide. I'm about done with it. What a praying warrior that man was. Spend all nights in prayer on his knees. God used him in such a wonderful way. I'm not saying you need to spend all night in prayer now. I'm just saying spend much time in prayer. Live a godly, separated life. Work hard and don't be a lazy preacher. You know, I'm glad that I can say by experience, by being around you, that you're a hard worker and you're not lazy. That says a lot about you folks. He is a hard worker. And we praise God for it. And I'm going to say this to you as well. Watch two things in life. How many times has our church heard this? But watch two things in life. Watch the money and watch the women. Keep your hands off both. And live above reproach in both areas. That is great, great advice that somebody gave preacher. And preacher's given our church. And now his Timothy, am giving to you. Watch those two things. Well, I don't know about you. I know that was quick. But I don't know about you. That was pretty good right there. And praise God for it. What? Listen, we are a doctrinal sound church. Don't run from the word doctrine. Doctrine's a powerful word that simply means the beliefs and teaching of the Bible. You have the doctrine of God's word, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the last times. You have the doctrine of all these things. Don't let that make you afraid. Praise God for Bible doctrine. Powerful. Now, before we proceed, this ordaining council sitting here, you've heard me drill him here and so on in front of you, but does anybody have a further question? Anybody on the ordaining council have a further question? Amen. Now, this is just for the ordaining council first. Could I have a motion that we proceed in ordaining Brother Robert Mann into the gospel ministry? Could I have a motion from one of you folks here? Brother Bobby, a second. Brother Galleon, all in favor, just here on this council, would you say aye, please?
Aye.
Now, we come to the church at this point, and could I get a motion from the church? You've heard me examine him. You've heard the motion, second, and all in favor saying aye here on the ordaining council. Any opposed? Amen. Could I have a motion from a church member that we proceed? Brother Barker, Brother Plumador, all in favor, would you say aye and raise your hand high, please?
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. So carry. Very good. At this time, I'm going to ask my Moses. I probably embarrass him. I call him that so much. But he's going to come at this time, and he's going to present a Bible to Bob at this time.
Well, I'm not Moses, but it sounds pretty good, though. And Bob, we have an old Scofield, and believe it or not, King James Version. And Bob, I started reading it through my Sunday school teachers. You've heard many times when I was 15, I was saved at 13, and she challenged us to start reading it through. And that's one of the greatest things every year since I was 15. And then in 1953, that's 57 years ago, 58 next month, I started preaching, 58 years. And so, Bob, I'm just to present this to you, but I love this old book. You've heard me say many times, sometimes I just like to take a little salt and pepper, put on the word, and forget about it. So, Bob, believe the word of God. It's true where we believe it or not, folks. Believe it. I mean, believe what you understand and believe what you don't understand. Because it's true where I understand it or you understand it or not. It's true. Believe it and then read it every day. Every day. You need to get in the Word of God every day. And then love it, meditate on it, and follow, obey the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And what a privilege it is to spend your life handling. I'm thankful to this church to let me, for all these years, preach the Word of God. Read it, love it, brag on it. And the Word of God's full of Jesus. So just get full of the Word of God, you'll be full of Jesus. And then you can ride out into eternity on the Word of God. Amen. So let me present this to you.
Amen. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Brother Bob, if you want to have a seat right there with your wife. I asked Brother Bob who he wanted to come and preach the message to him. It's for all of us, but specifically to him and charging him tonight. And he didn't hesitate. He wanted his former youth pastor to come preach. So Brother Doug Krause, his dear wife, good to have you here with us. If you wouldn't mind to come at this time and you open the Word of God to us, please. Glad you're here this evening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jenkins. I appreciate the honor of standing behind the pulpit here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, a church with a testimony not only in this area, but a church with a testimony that goes beyond this area. And it is my honor, my joy to be here in the pulpit tonight. I want to mention also that I'm so blessed by your bus ministry. I'm a bus kid. The reason that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven is because two bus workers on a Saturday afternoon knocked on a 15-year-old boy's house and put up with his smart-aleckness and his fact that he wasn't saved and took time with me and pulled up the next morning, and I stepped on that bus and I went to church where I met the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then was blessed to meet my wife, and then was called into the ministry. And I am blessed by churches with a passion for bus kids. It's a great blessing to me. I want you to know what an honor it is also to be here and preach the charge for this ordination service to Bob and extend it to the entire congregation. Bob, I want you to know how much we love you. God has a plan. And in God's plan, there's no such thing as luck or chance or coincidence. Christian can throw all three of those words out. There's no luck. There's no chance. There's no coincidence. There's God's plan. And one of the neat things about God's plan is that in implementing His plan, He knits our lives together with people that He puts us with at the same time on His earth. And one of the great joys of that is that we get to have a love relationship with those people that He puts into our lives. And when God gave the great privilege of me to be Bob's youth pastor, He knit us together in a way in which we were able to experience a great love. And I have a great love for Bob. Also, I want you to know, Bob, how proud we are of you. Not just for the young man that you are here, but the young man that you have been. You have a great testimony of faithfulness and passion and sacrifice. This is a testimony not only unto you and certainly unto your wife, Lindsay. It's a testimony unto your parents. Jeff, Sandy, it's a good day for you here. It's a day you ought to hold and treasure. Miss Donna, a day of great joy unto you, as Bob said, my Lois. I love that. Great day. This is a testimony not only unto your parents, but certainly unto Crown College and the marvelous education and training that you received there, and certainly also unto Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. What a great joy for this congregation to see this young man ordained. But above all, this is a testimony unto our Lord. You see, it is His ministry that you're being ordained into, Bob. It is His ministry. And in His ministry, there is a passage of Scripture that I'd like for us to go to, found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, as we've already heard from this evening, the Apostle Paul shares a couple of little bits there in chapter 1, beginning there in verse 11, about this ministry. If you'll look at that with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul writes unto Timothy, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Bob. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for his salvation, for his service. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for his passion for You, his faithfulness. I thank You, Lord, for his dear wife, Lindsay, that You brought them together, Lord. God, every man in this auditorium, every man in the ministry knows the value of a wife that loves him and stands beside him and supports him and serves with him. Heavenly Father, I thank You for his upbringing. I thank You, Lord, for his training. And I thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your leadership in bringing him here to Buffalo Ridge. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight, just over these next few moments, that You would be lifted up and You would be honored and You would be glorified. I pray, Heavenly Father, that a charge would be given not only unto Bob, but unto all of us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there be one here tonight that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that through all that they've heard and seen and through Your precious word, they would trust You and find You precious unto their soul. We love You, Lord. May we honor You now. In Christ's name, amen. Here in 1 Timothy, Paul says a couple of things that we're look at and springboard from. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Bob, the gospel that you're being entrusted with tonight in your ordination is a glorious gospel. It is a gospel to be held high and treasured, a gospel to be honored. It is the only way unto God. It is the only way that we as fallible people can come to Christ and know Christ. It is a glorious gospel. It is a gospel that saves our souls. And he says here it was entrusted. It says it was committed to my trust. What an awesome statement. When I read that, when I think about that, that the glorious gospel is committed to my trust. What a responsibility. And the gospel is committed to Bob's trust. It is committed to our trust. We are entrusted with this glorious gospel. And he goes on then in verse 12, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know what Bob is being entrusted to do here tonight? He has enabled him to do it. God will never call us to something that he'll not enable us to then do. May we be certain that God will meet all Bob's needs, and he'll supply him, and he'll direct him, and he'll guide him. He will enable him. And then he says that he counted me faithful. I love the fact that it doesn't say he counted me gifted, or he counted me sufficient, or he counted me anything else. Doesn't say that I was great or I was talented. Says that he counted me faithful. That he looked at the life and said, a faithful young man here. And you certainly have that in Bob. That God saw him and said, Bob is faithful. And then he says, putting me into the ministry. You see, it is God that puts Bob man into the ministry. It's God that does that. We get to be the conveyors of that as the local church here and ordaining Bob. And we get to have that and have that blessing. It's God that puts him into the ministry. And with that in mind, how can a young man go into such an awesome and great responsibility? And Bob, I'd like to give you just three simple thoughts here in just a couple of minutes. Three thoughts about how you can go into this awesome responsibility here in this ministry. And as you don't mind, I'd like to do it as your old youth pastor, as your Sunday school teacher, and I'll give it in ABC form, if you would please, as an old Sunday school teacher. First thing I want you to know, Bob, is that in doing this ministry, you'll need to abide. Abide. Look over at John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15 and down in verse 4. John 15 and verse 4, Jesus is sharing the parable of the vine. And he says in 15 and 4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me. Now this may seem like a very simple, obvious given, but it is the key. And it has already been mentioned twice tonight, underlining the importance of abiding in Christ. Jesus said, you cannot do anything without me. And that is so true. We cannot do anything in and of ourselves. We do nothing without him. And so that abiding is the key. What is that abiding? It is the studying of his word. It is the praying unto our Lord. It is that daily walk with him. That is abiding. And Bob, of all the things that you'll be entrusted to do, all of them are built on the foundation that you daily abide. You must abide. You must have that time for the precious study of the Word of God. Above all things, you take that time, and it's not the same time as you'll take that where you'll study to teach, or you'll study to preach, or you'll study for a series, or you'll study to do something with the youth. This is your personal time in the Word of God, where you'll study His Word and meditate upon His Word and allow His Word to sink into and saturate you. That abiding time is necessary, and it is glorious, and it is great. And all things that'll stem in your life and in your ministry here and around the world will come from that time of abiding. It is time in prayer, time that has been mentioned twice already tonight, where you will get on your knees and you will spend time praying and seeking God's will in your life. It is a time of walking with Him in your daily conduct. This abiding has got to be personal. It must be totally reliant upon Him. It must be daily. It must be above all other things. It must be sacrificial, and it must be done in purity. Bob, if this is crowded out by anything, it'll dry you up, and it'll leave you an ineffective tool in the hand of a great God who amazingly chooses to use us. Never allow anything to push you away from abiding. Unfortunately, too often, we get busy. Sometimes we get busy in good things, but we get busy and we crowd out that time of abiding. That's a mistake. Don't do that. Sometimes our pride can get the better of us. And in our pride, we'll push out abiding. We'll get some quote-unquote successes under our belt, and we'll begin to think that we're really doing something. And our pride can creep in there, and that will push out abiding time. And God has a way of lovingly bringing us back to understanding just how much we need Him. And then sometimes even our experience can crowd out that abiding. You've been in the ministry a while, and this is our 29th year in the youth ministry. You get in the ministry for a while, and if you're not careful, all of a sudden, your experience, you think, can substitute at times for that abiding, and that is not so. Above all things, elevate and prioritize and treasure that abiding. And in that abiding, that is what will knit you there with your walk with the Holy Spirit and keep you sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, that you'll be a man not only in your ministry, but in your personal life as well, through that abiding time. And that matters, not only in Bob's ministry to all of you, all of his young people, all the parents, and I'm thankful for a young man with an approach that it is the youth and the parents together, but also unto his own personal life. You know, Bob, elevating and lifting up your dear wife, Lindsay, and being the husband unto her, all of that will stem from your abiding time. One of the greatest things I ever heard said about somebody was at an old-fashioned Baptist hayride. We were seated around a bonfire, and we were giving words of testimony. And a young lady named Patty Hodges was testifying of her daddy, who had been a deacon in our church and had just gone home to be with the Lord. And she said this, and I've never forgotten it. She said, "My daddy was exactly the same man at home that he was at church." And I heard that and I thought, Doug Krauss, you better be the same man at home that you are at church. And Bob, you better be the same man at home that you are at church. And that comes, first of all, from abiding in Him. Jesus said, nothing will happen unless it happens through me. You must abide. Let me give you the second one, the B. Believe. Look over with me at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. To believe, to have faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. Here we hear of the healing of the blind men, but pay close attention to what Jesus says in this. In verse 28, he says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." You see, here in this scripture, he says, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And they say, "Yea, Lord." And he says, "Then according to your faith, you are healed." And this is the biblical pattern for the rest of your life, Bob. And it is the biblical pattern for all of our lives, that we walk by faith. That this is an issue of believing. Believing that starts when we first believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, that started at the age of 8, but that'll continue every day from here on out while you walk on this earth. And Bob, here's the truth. You will preach that type of faith. You will preach that believing unto others. You will teach it unto your youth group. You will stand in front of your teenagers and talk about believing in faith. You will proclaim it. You will sit with people and you will counsel them to have that faith, that belief. But the challenge, Bob, will be in those private, quiet times, those personal moments that'll come over the course of your lifetime, those valley moments, because all of us are good at believing from the mountaintop. But let's be honest, in those valley moments, in those challenging times, when something washes over you and the fact that Reverend precedes your name isn't the answer for everything, during those moments, you'll have to ask yourself, do I really have faith? Do I really believe? Do I trust the sufficiency of this precious word of God? That'll be those moments that you'll know if you believe. You're saved. You have that relationship with Christ. But there will be those moments, and they'll probably be personal and private, and you'll have to say, do I believe? Is the word sufficient? Can God meet my needs? And the great news is, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. He is our Creator and our Savior and our Sustainer and our teacher. He is the Alpha and Omega, the all in all. He is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. He is the Rose of Sharon and the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace and the Good Shepherd and the Spotless Lamb. And He is great and good and kind and loving and giving and forgiving and gracious and merciful and generous and true and righteous and just and pure, and He is holy, holy, holy. And I proclaim to you now and forever that you can trust Him, Bob. You can believe in Him, and your faith will stand because of who He is. And you can believe even in those tough moments that'll come. Let me give you that third thought, the C, if you would, in our ABCs from an old Sunday school teacher. Choose. Look over there in Joshua chapter 24. You know where we're going? Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. To choose. There in Joshua 24, verse 15, says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like the fact in here, and I'm reminded every time I study this or teach this or preach this, that the Bible says, choose you this day. Because the truth of the matter is that each and every day will require choice. Each and every day will require choice. As we have said, there will be the choice of abiding, the choice of believing, and there will be countless other choices. And these will come from the Christian character that you possess, from your upbringing, from your education at Crown, certainly here. And I'll tell you what a blessing for an old youth pastor who sees young people go out into the service of the Lord, and to come into a church and see someone that I love and care so much about loved and embraced by the pastor and the pastor emeritus and this church family, to watch your rapport in the aisleways and the foyer with Bob, what a great blessing unto this old youth pastor's heart. But in all that, all these choices that will come from your character, the character that you have, the character that you share with Lindsay, the character that God has put in your heart, you'll have countless choices to make. How will you choose to act? How will you choose to react? What will you value? Where will your loyalties lie? What will your priorities be? What will your disciplines be? What will you invest your time in, your talents in? What will you serve? And let me say, Bob, it's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve. We're not doing God any favors here tonight. It is our honor to serve Him, our honor to serve Him. And how will you love? You see, I think that greatest choice, it's been spoken of already tonight, is how will you love? How will you love? Will you love unconditionally with each person that God chooses to cross your path with? You know, in that plan that God has and the people He brings across in your life, will you love unconditionally? Will it be His love? I believe that it will. I believe that it will. I believe that because I've already seen that in my many remembrances of Bob's life, and I have so many that I could go to, countless times. Times at summer camps and winter retreats when Bob would fix things amongst the other young people that I didn't even know about until afterwards. He was training Bob even then to be your youth pastor. The countless times where I saw Bob shelter and help the ones who struggled and love on the kids. Of my many remembrances, there's one that stands out. Before our youth group's second mission trip to Mexico, we had a young man in our youth group named Gary. And Gary came from a very challenged home. Gary's dad was a drug dealer. And Gary's family was in great disarray. And when Gary would walk into that youth group of ours, Gary looked down. Gary wasn't going to talk to anybody. And Gary didn't feel worthy to be in that youth group. And of all the kids that would go up and minister unto Gary, Bob was at the forefront. There was never a time where Gary wasn't invited to sit next to Bob on the van on our way to some activity or be included in something to where Gary would be loved and remembered. And just a few short weeks before our mission trip, Gary's home was busted into by the police on a drug raid. His daddy was taken and put in prison. And when that took place, the police gathered up all the money that they found in the home because they thought any of that could have been drug money, including Gary's jar of money on his bedroom dresser that he was saving to pay his way to go on a Mexico mission trip. This took place on a Friday. On Sunday morning, I got to my office, and there were two young men standing outside my door. Each had arrived there individually. One of them is now a missionary in China. The other one is Bob Mann. And Bob stood there, and before I could get my door unlocked, he said, "Brother Doug, I just want you to know, here's my money. Gary's going to Mexico." And I said, "Bob, you can put your money back away. Gary's going to Mexico. But God bless you for being this type of young man." And that love that was evident that day outside my office, that was evident throughout the time we had the great joy of having Bob in our youth group, that love, I believe with all my heart, will continue on to serve the Lord here at Buffalo Ridge, unto these good people and your families and your parents and these teenagers, and it'll extend far beyond as he trains young men and young women. That love will continue, and that love will always be a choice, and you can feel confident that this young man will make that right choice. And so, Bob, this challenge is just simply this: ABC. Abide in Christ above all things. Believe with your life in those challenging valley moments especially. And choose each day how you'll live out your life. We're proud of you. We love you. And may God bless you as you are ordained unto His ministry. Would you stand with me, please? It's obvious that tonight's service and this message is a challenge unto Bob in his ordination. But my goodness, could we not take the Holy Scriptures that we have shared and apply them unto us all? Must we all acknowledge that we must abide above all things? How's your abiding tonight? Is your abiding where it ought to be? If something's not working right, you can count on the fact that we can go back to that foundational principle of abiding. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you believing? Can you trust Him tonight? I tell you that you can. Is your faith where it ought to be? And then how's your choices? Are you choosing to love with an unconditional love? Are you choosing to be who you ought to be for Christ? This message is unto Bob, it is unto us all, it is unto me. Join me now as we pray, and upon the conclusion of our prayer, we'll sing and begin our invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. God, may its power speak unto the hearts of each man and woman, each teenager, each boy and girl here tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do the work that only you can do. And God, may we respond as you see fit. Lord, may we not hesitate to do that which you would have us to do at this time. And Lord, be there one here tonight who is saying to themselves, I don't know what all of those relationships are that the youth pastor spoke of. I don't know what it is to be abiding in him because I don't yet know him. Then I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight, they would come forward and trust you. Let someone take the word of God and show them out of the word of God what it means to be saved and begin that relationship with you here tonight. We love you. It is our honor to serve you. And we pray you'll bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing together, "All to Jesus I Surrender."
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely
give. What is your need this evening?
I will ever love and trust
to abide,
in
to
His
believe,
presence daily
to choose.
Live. I surrender all.
What's God saying to your heart tonight?
I surrender.
sing another verse as folks are at the altar.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You do as the Lord leads you. Turn the service back over to Dr. Jenkins.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Be seated. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask Bob and Lindsay, if they wouldn't mind, if Miss Lindsay, if you just want to have a seat in that chair, and Bob, if you want to kneel beside her there, and Brother Ted Mock is going to come and begin the laying on of hands, if you wouldn't mind to do this. He's going to have the ordination prayer, and then I'm going to ask Brother Gary and his father, Brother Krause, and I'd like our preacher also to pray over him, and then I'll conclude the laying on of hands, and then after that, if you'll just stay put there, and then the rest of the ordaining council can just come by and speak to the couple, just encourage them, and then just proceed, and then we'll have a conclusion of the service here. Brother Mock, sir.
Lord, you know my heart. Lord, I know of a finer young man. God, we can't say anything more. We are thankful that you see him as one who is worthy. Lord, when I think about these men that are out here, stood faithfully over the years, that are about to come by and pray over them, Lord, lay their hands on them. Lord, as a public symbol, God, of what happened to them, Lord, all the way back, so many years. God, there's men that have been in the arena fighting. Lord, now Bob, who's been in the war, is going into that arena. Lord, so much promise. God, we pray that you'd use him mightily. Lord, I know there's going to be times in the fight when it's not going to be good. I pray that you strengthen. Times when he's wounded, and I pray that you'll heal him. God, I pray that you keep him faithful. Lord, I'd help him. Lord, help him to understand that without you, he can do nothing. God, we fail so often when we trust our own abilities and talents. Lord, he's a good boy. He's been trained well. He has a good mind, a good heart. But, oh God, without your hand, he won't be able to stand. Lord, as these men come and go, Lord, pass that great treasured heritage down to him. Lord, before you, his church, and his company of great men, pray, God, that he would show himself a man and quit the battle well. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, we're excited tonight about what you've already done in Bob's life. Thank you for the evidence of the grace of God. Lord, where would he be without you? But Lord, you saved him and you've called him. And Lord, how we want to see you continue to have your hand upon him. And Lord, as my hand is on Bob right now, may your divine hand be upon him. May you give him years of faithful service, great fruit in years to come. Lord, may he be controlled by the Spirit of God as he seeks to do your work. Lord, oh, bless him and use him, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great heritage that Bob has, a mother and a home, and a mother and a father loved God, brought him up in the ways of the Lord. Oh, what a great heritage Bob has here. And thank you, the Lord, for the heritage he had in the youth department at his church, and in this great church he's from, and the education received at Crown College. Lord, he's has a great heritage now, Lord, as he's entered the ministry here at our church. He needs the touch of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd anoint Bob right now. Fill him with the blessed Holy Ghost. Lord, we can't do it without you. Our help comes from above. Vain is the help of man. We need the Lord. And Bob and Lindsay need the Lord as they continue to serve the Lord here and the rest of their days together, that you give them to serve the Lord. And so we just pray that the touch and the blessing and the presence of the Lord God of heaven and the blessed Holy Spirit would be upon him now and forevermore. And we'll thank you. Use him mightily for your glory in Jesus' name.
Precious Lord, God, I'm so thankful that 27 years ago, you gave my wife and me this son. Lord, you know, years ago when he was just a baby, I dedicated him back to you, Lord. Lord, through the years as a father, Lord, with my faults and my failures, Lord, I lifted him up to you, Lord. Lord, I prayed for years for a godly wife, and Lord, you sent one to him. Lord, I prayed for years for safety, and you've watched over him. Lord, I prayed for just your hand of guidance on him, Lord, that, and Lord, you've watched over him, and you've led him the ways he needs to go. Lord, and I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to continue to use him in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. Hedge protection.
Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and praise you for who you are, how great you've been to us. Lord, we're reminded of where we could be, where Bob could be. The sweet Holy Spirit didn't draw him to yourself. I thank you that he's been saved. Thank you for calling him. Thank you for giving him a precious wife. Thank you for sending him here. Lord, we all stand in need of thee. I know in my own heart and life, I can't do anything without you. And Bob knows that in his heart too. I pray that you'll bless him now as they lead the youth ministry of this church. Would you help this church and this youth ministry to flourish the way that you want it to? And through it, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon him, protect him, keep him safe, keep his mind pure. I pray, Lord, for his marriage, that you help it to be the best it's ever been. And I pray, our Father, that you help him to know that we love him. More than that, you love him, and that's really all that matters. Oh, we just lift him up before you. I ask that you bless his remaining days with us here. We pray that they be many. May many souls be in heaven because of the ministry of this dear young man and his wife. Bless him and breathe upon him, please. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have the counseling crew here, if you wouldn't mind, to just come and make a line, make it brief now, just say a word of encouragement to him and go right back to your seat, and then we're just about done. So stay with us here, okay? So ordaining counsel, if you want to stand, Brother Steve, if you want to help, start right there. Just say a word of encouragement and come right straight through.
Thank you. died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so
much, Brother Bob, his dear wife, his family, all this crew right here in the front row. If y'all wouldn't mind to make your way out to the lobby. Bob, it's with great pleasure that I give you this certificate of ordination. You are now a reverend. And that is a great, great blessing. If you'll take that out and take your family and crew with you. And then what I want to do is I want to dismiss all of the teenagers first. And I'd like for all the teenagers who are in the building to go by and shake Bob's hand, shake Miss Lindsay's hand, if it's appropriate. And so on. In other words, a guy with him and a girl with her, you can hug them and all these kind of things. And then after that, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. And I encourage all of you to go by and shake his hand. Let him know that we're proud to have him here. God bless him. And I believe we have struck oil here. And praise the Lord for it. Let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Let me remind you, if you're a first-time guest, to take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. And thank you for being here. Please be back on Wednesday night. Our pastor emeritus will be speaking on Wednesday night, and you don't want to miss that. So let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Yes, I need to dismiss this. Could I have a motion that we dismiss this business meeting? Brother Ron, second, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high.
Aye.
Any opposed? Sit down. Just kidding with you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this special time. Help us now, I beg of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remember the Sweetheart Dinner. If you haven't gotten tickets, preacher's book outside. Thank you.